is on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeers really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. This show airs at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Thursday. For more information about the show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle @artist_first. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark, Lisa and Nancy.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. We're airing live from Artist First. We have a really fun show for you tonight. We have our first guest is going to be Dave Congleton. He's a talk show host on KVEC 920 from San Luis Obispo, California. And we have author Colleen Christian Burke, who wrote the book Christmas with the First Ladies. And we have Linda Cunningham. She's an author, but she's also Craig Ferguson, the late talk show host, the late night talk show host's mother-in-law. So we're going to have her on in a little bit. So go grab your martini, slip into your comfortable chair, put on your best high heels, and stay and chat with us for the next hour. Nancy.
Hi, Lisa.
I know. We got all this going on tonight.
I love it. I love this time of year with all the hustle and bustle. I just got back from New York City, and I actually stood there and just let it seep in because I love it all. Living in Minnesota, I don't have all that hustle and bustle.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm in hustle bustle all the time.
Yeah, so I love it.
No, New York City gets so crowded, just for people that have no idea. I was driving from a city right outside of New York City. Actually, Dave, Teaneck, that's where you're from, right?
Like, that's where I was born. Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
Yes. I was going from that area, like Paramus, Teaneck. I was trying to get up to the New Jersey Turnpike. It took me 2 hours. It was rush hour. It was raining. 2 hours to go 1 mile to get through the toll booth on the turnpike.
That's thank amazing.
God, I, thank wow. God I'm pretty laid back, because I put my Christmas music on the radio and I just sat there. I just, what was I going to do, you know? So, anyway. Well, speaking of Teaneck, our first guest, dear friend of mine, my buddy from California, Dave Congleton. He's a talk show host. He's an author. He's a writer. Dave, welcome to the show.
Lisa, thank you. Nancy, thank you. Merry Christmas to both of you ladies.
Thanks. Merry Christmas.
Thanks.
We don't have any traffic in California.
No, especially where you live.
I think it's so cool that I'm on the show with Craig Ferguson's mother-in-law. How'd you get that booking? I love that.
I saw her on Late Late with Craig
and
emailed her, and she's graciously accepted.
Well, I got a question for her that you got to ask. He came here about a year and a half ago for a concert. And he just kept dropping the F-bomb. Just, it was F this, F that. And he defended it by saying on TV he couldn't use the word, so he wanted to use it as often as he could that night. So ask the mother-in-law if she knows what a potty mouth your son-in-law has.
Oh, boy.
Dave, do you want to come on when she's on? Dave, do you want
yeah?
to come on when she's on and ask her? No, question?
No, it's okay.
You sure?
I just caused trouble, Lisa.
You?
This is what a talk show host does. A talk show host just kind of drops the bomb and then he runs away.
Well, she's a delightful woman, and I think she'd be surprised to hear about potty mouth.
And I'm a big Craig Ferguson fan.
Me too.
Well, have fun with that.
Hopefully
so what's
will.
Going on?
What's going on with you? What's this cool book you have out? Ho, ho, ho. The Dorothy Day Christmas. Tell us about that.
I love Lisa.
How long did it
thank you for asking. It's a Christmas story that I wrote about almost 20 years ago called Ho Ho, The Dog Who Saved Christmas. And we turned it into an ebook. And you have two choices. You can either download the ebook or you can download me reading the story. It's about 15 minutes long. And this, my website is hohobook.com. That's hohobook.com. And you can get either the story or the audio file for only 99 cents. I mean, that's it. Now, the sad part about it is that it involves a dog and a cat named Topper and Triptych who ended up dying in a house fire in 1997. But in 1992, they were the two animals that my wife Charlotte and I had. And I wanted to write a Christmas story that kind of reminded people the importance of dogs at Christmas time. So this is just me telling a story to a bunch of dogs. You got to read the story, you get the premise, about how the Santa's reindeer get sick on Christmas Eve because they've been eating pizza and they can't take the toys and Santa doesn't know what he's going to do. And he's got this dog named Ho-Ho who it's not his dog, it's more Mrs. Claus's dog. And Ho-Ho comes to the rescue and saves Christmas.
Aww.
Right there.
Oh, and what kind of pizza were they eating? Does it matter, or were they
It's just pizza.
Oh, and
Santa says, how many times have I told you never to eat pizza on Christmas Eve?
I love it.
So this story, the editor liked it so much, he ran it on the front page of the San Luis Obispo Telegram Tribune on Christmas Eve, 1992. And my radio show started in 92, and so it's a tradition now. Every Christmas, the last show I do before we sign off for Christmas, I read Ho Ho, the dog who saved Christmas. And now, as you guys know, with the ebook, you can put anything out there. And I just, you know, this isn't a money-making thing, but I wanted to keep that story of Topper and Triptych and the reindeer alive. So we put in a little ebook, and I wrote a little prologue that told the background of the story. We have a couple photos of Topper and Triptych, and it's just out there.
Wow.
That's
You're
my
a big
story.
Advocate. You're a big animal advocate. How many dogs and cats do you have now?
Oh, we're way down. We're way down. We started with 5 dogs and 12 cats. Now we're down to 5 cats and 3 dogs. And we have none of the original gang left. I'm coming off a year where we lost 3 dogs in 8 months, and then we just lost a cat last week. So we wake up, and our Tiberius is dead on the floor. And Charlotte looks at me. She's like, oh, I think Tiberius is dead.
Oh.
So he is a big kid. He's like a 20-pound cat.
Mm.
So, I mean, Ho-Ho is kind of like my celebration of animals in our lives.
I love that. I love
For
the
99
picture.
Cents, you can go to hohobook.com. And unlike Craig Ferguson, there's no F words. There's no bad language. It's family-oriented. The kids can listen to it. He's going to find out where I live, and he's going to come up and beat the bejesus out of me.
Oh, and like we said, we love Late with Craig Ferguson.
Yeah, I agree.
So what else is going on? Tell us about your show. Tell everybody about your show.
Oh, it's just a talk show. It's not like your show. It's not like Chit Chat Cafe. I don't have a sidekick. It's just me.
Marnie's kind of your sidekick a little bit.
Well, yeah, but it's mainly me. I guess the big news with me is that coming up in January, it's the 20th anniversary of my show.
That's exciting.
What are you going to do? Special?
I'm bringing the 3 people on who originally hired me.
Oh, really?
And I'm going to ask them if they regret their decision. It's just blown by, Nancy. It's just blown by. I can't believe it's been 20 years.
That's amazing. I love it when you have Lisa on.
Yeah. Yeah, she's great. And Nancy, you got to come on sometime.
Oh, can you imagine Lisa and I together?
Well, that's a thought.
There we go.
Yeah, we could do that. I like it. Yeah, Lisa, you haven't been on in a while. We got to think of a topic.
I know. We've had good topics.
I love it when you have Lisa on. I tune in. I just laugh and laugh and laugh.
But you should call in sometime, Nancy.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you. I'm honored.
Let's do it. What are you guys doing for Christmas?
Well, I'm having my big Italian Christmas Eve. See, it's a shame you don't live around here, Dave. I'd have you over. It's a big open house. I have all my friends to come in. You have to come to the East Coast.
I haven't been to the East Coast since 2001.
No desire.
Oh my
to
goodness.
Come here. No desire.
I just don't, Nancy, I don't go anywhere. In 2007, I went to Antarctica, and that was my claim to fame.
You did a trip last year, didn't you? Didn't you drive all around somewhere? You were
Well, last summer. That's true. But my wife had never been in the Intermountain West, so we got in the car, and we drove like 4,800 miles in 9 days. We drove to North Dakota and back. And we did Wyoming and Utah and Montana. It was really cool.
It is cool. My son goes to college in Montana.
Where?
Bozeman.
Oh, Montana State?
Yes, he loves
that. Yeah. Beautiful town.
He's a big snowmobiler in the mountains.
If you like snowmobiling, Montana is the place to be.
It is.
I used to teach at Concordia College in Moorhead, Minnesota.
Oh, that's wonderful. I live near St. Paul.
Yeah, that was my first teaching job. Out of graduate school. I survived Fargo-Moorhead for 3 years. And last summer, my wife had never been there before. We drove into town, and I'm like, I can't believe I used to live here. It's like, wow, I've become a spoiled California person.
Well, so Lisa, and I would love to come to California to see you.
I'm sorry, Lisa, what'd you say?
To tell everybody why you went out to California.
I always wanted, well, I don't know. I know what you were setting me up on. I always wanted to live in California.
I always wanted
to live in California. I was always drawn to the state. And instead, I ended up at various places in the Midwest, like Fargo and Indiana and Oklahoma. And I was like 34 years old, and it was like a now or never thing. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I got to go. So I came. I came out here in 1987. I've never looked back.
Tell everybody what it's like to live on the sunshine. I mean, everybody hears of San Francisco, and they hear of L.A., Southern California. Tell us what it's like to live in the Central Coast.
It's paradise. We're midway between San Francisco and Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's cold here at night. By cold, it's probably down in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
The daytime, it's in the 70s. We haven't had any rain, so it is just gorgeous outside. We're not going to see any snow. We go to the snow. The snow doesn't come to us. So if you want snow, you can hop in your car and you can drive to Mammoth, and you can go skiing, and you got snow. Tomorrow I've got 4 days off, so I'm going to take a lot of walks on the beach, and I'm going to do some hiking.
How far from the beach do you live?
Well, it's tough to say because as the crow flies, I'm only about 3 miles, but there's no direct access where I am. So I've got to go about 15 minutes up the highway to Pismo Beach.
Okay.
That's the only thing about where I live, which is in Napomo, California. There's no direct beach access
mm-hmm.
for reasons I've never quite understood. No, California, it's just, it's hard to describe. Billy Joel talks about being in a New York state of mind. I'm always in a California state of mind. I went to Chicago in 2002. I changed my ticket and went back a day early. I just wanted to be back in California. I'm a total California snob.
We were there last year. Nancy and I were there last year.
Yeah, you're up in Monterey.
Right, yep.
We're a great town.
Next time we'll come, we'd love to meet you.
Why you say that now?
No.
Hey, you say that now. Nah, it'd be fun.
We might come out to California next year. We're trying to, anyway.
Okay.
We're trying.
Okay. Anything else you want to know?
Anything else you want to tell us?
Just go to hohobook.com.
Okay.
And for 99 cents, you can get Ho-Ho, the dog who saved Christmas. And then have me back on, if you would, in the summertime. And hopefully, knock on wood, I can tell you about my movie being in production.
Is that the one from before?
Yeah, it's back again.
Really? Can you
back
give us
again.
Any hints now?
No, because everything is up in the air. But it looks like we're going to go into production in May, and they're talking about some pretty cool names to be associated with it. But nothing is signed, nothing is established.
Hey, just talk about it. It's exciting. Well, we're definitely going to have you on. You just let us know, of course.
Yeah, I will. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, cool.
All right, ladies, Merry Christmas.
You too.
Merry Christmas.
I'll be in touch.
It's great to be on Chit Chat Cafe.
Bye, Dave.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. He's a cool guy. Dave's a cool guy.
He is always so much fun. What an honor.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on. He's got a very successful show. He's more of a local show. He has all, you know, local people on, and, you know, he's got his diehard listeners. You know, I think he's on, like, drive time, like, from 3 to 7, you know, for California
every
time.
Day.
Yeah, every day. He's on 5 days a week, yep. And then, you know,
yep.
People listen to him as they're driving home. That's
well,
a good,
Lisa,
that's like a prime time spot.
I love it when you let me know when you're going to be on with him, because it's a riot. My favorite time was when you were talking about luggage.
Oh, here we go. See, this is, I know. Nancy and I differ. And so, well, you know, it's so funny. I told you, you and my husband are cut out of the same mold.
We are.
Now, my son's going to Spain. He leaves in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from tomorrow. And I'm, you know, thinking, I said, oh, I got to go buy him a big suitcase, and I got to buy him two big suitcases and a carry-on. But my husband, no. He's got to pack conservatively. He can't be taking 15 suitcases. He can't carry, you know, it's got to be, everything's got to be compact. Well, you know me, I go away for a weekend and I bring six pairs of shoes.
Right.
So tell everybody how you pack.
Well, I go away for 10 days in a carry-on with
little
food
one.
Included
a little carry-on.
In that carry-on and my pillow.
Hmm.
Yeah. I love to pack.
If you pack, yeah, you're very. I can't believe the little suitcase you carry.
Yeah, I don't want to pay to have it shipped underneath the plane either. So I like to have it in my sight and everything's rolled up. I don't have any choices. I make the choices before I put them in my suitcase, and what I take is what I wear and enjoy. And
I even bring food
in my suitcase: tuna and protein powder and oatmeal.
I think something's wrong with you. I swear to God.
If I can save money, I do it. And then, see, by bringing my own oatmeal for breakfast and protein powder and tuna for lunch, then I don't feel bad about going out and treat myself for dinner.
No, you're smart. You're smart that way. You're very smart that way. But
I
need my options when I travel. I never know what I'm going to feel like wearing. Anyway, we'd like
lots
to thank our sponsors, Laura Geller Makeup and Intimacy Bras. Find their link on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website. We're taking a commercial break, and stay tuned because we're going to be joined by author Colleen Christian Burke.
Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Said the night wind to the little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
A star, dancing in the night, with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
A song, high above the tree, with a voice as big as the sea. With a voice as big as the sea.
And now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark.
Welcome back, everybody. We have a really cool author on now. Her name is Colleen Christian Burke, and she wrote a book. It's like a coffee table book. It's called Christmas with the First Ladies. Welcome, Colleen.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, it's our pleasure. This is an honor. How did you get involved with this? It's so cool.
Well, let's see. You know, a long and winding path, but basically I started a Christmas decorating business. When I used to be a TV producer, and I stepped aside from that when I first had my first daughter. And so I have this Christmas decorating business, which I really loved, and it's really wonderfully creative. And one day I just kind of made a very bold boast in front of my kids that I was going to go decorate the White House. And to save face, I just kept pursuing it until eventually First Lady Laura Bush invited me to be part of the decorating team.
Oh, my God, did you die?
I did. It was definitely one of those pinch me moments. And it almost had become a little bit of a running joke in our family, like, sure, Mom's going to the White House. So when Nancy Clark, who was the chief florist for many, many years at the White House and who kind of headed up a lot of the decorating for Mrs. Bush, when she actually called me, I thought it was one of my sisters pulling my leg, and I was like, oh, sure, you're from the White House. And then the more she was talking, I was like, oh, my goodness, she might be from the White House. And it was very funny. It turned out to be a legitimate call, but she said, the only stipulation is that you pass the Secret Service, background check. So I'm jumping up and down. I was so excited. I call my husband. I'm like, is there anything you need to tell me? Is there anything you need to tell me? And he said, why? And I said, well, because the Secret Service is going to be checking us out. And luckily, there were no skeletons in the closet, and we passed with flying colors. And I actually went in 2008.
Oh, my God. What was Laura Bush like?
I didn't know what to expect, and I kind of assumed that maybe the First Lady was maybe like a figurehead when it came to Christmas decorating. And I was shocked to find her. Well, first, she's amazingly gracious and elegant in person, and I hadn't really given her any thought before I met her personally, but she was really interested in the decorating, and she was constantly kind of coming through and monitoring what we were doing and having us tweak things, and she was really had a very specific vision of what she wanted to create for the Americans when they came through and toured the decorations. Mm-hmm. And I was really taken with that. And kind of what happened was when I got home from the whole experience, I wanted to know if other First Ladies had a signature Christmas decorating style. And I basically just wanted to buy a souvenir book on the subject. And when I couldn't find one, I thought to myself, well, I think I could probably write one. And now here we are.
Oh, wow. So did you do it for the Obamas as well, or was this a one-shot thing with Laura Bush?
It was a one-shot thing with Mrs. Bush. And, in fact, it used to be that once you were part of the decorating team, you stayed unless, for some reason, you missed two consecutive years. But when Mrs. Obama came in, she changed the policy, which First Ladies do often on many subjects. And she brought in a new group of people, and I think she tries to be somewhat more democratic and introduce new people each year.
Well, give everybody a chance, I guess.
I guess. I mean, the selfish part of me wishes it was still the old system.
Oh.
The more fair-minded part of me says it's probably better for democracy if we share the experience. And when I was there, it was like just one of those like on cloud nine experiences.
Oh my God, sure.
That I thought to myself, you know, if I never have this experience again, once is enough. It really was pretty spectacular.
How long did it take to decorate?
So what they do is they bring the decorators down for about 3.5 days at the end of November, and you work in an undisclosed warehouse location where you pre-build everything and pre-assemble, and you're working with like a lot of like roping and live materials, like plant materials, and
mm-hmm.
we worked for 3.5 days, and at the end of the 3.5 days, I was surprised they actually bring in the, for lack of a better phrase, the bomb-sniffing dogs to check to make sure that nothing dangerous has been put into any of the Christmas decorations, and I'm happy to report the bows and the wreaths and the roping were all safe, and then we actually took a break for Thanksgiving. We reported back to actually work in the White House for 2 straight days, which was a lot to do in 2 days and a very daunting task.
like, did you go to the bathroom there and stuff and eat there and all kinds of stuff?
Everything. And it was so funny because, first, this, you know, it was 2008, so post 9/11. I never thought that I'd be running around the White House with, like, my wire cutters and my scissors and kind of just, like, doing my thing. And then the other thing was they feed you a lot, and they feed you really great food, but they took all the furniture out of the state dining room. It really became like a staging area or a work area, all the state floors. Mm-hmm. And so we were eating these really magnificent meals, like sitting on the floor of the east, you know, of the east room or the state dining room.
Oh, what a great.
Yeah, it was like a totally different way to experience the White House.
Uh-huh. Wow. That's just something not everybody can do. So it's, even though you only got to do it once, it's a story for a lifetime, really.
Yeah, it's one of, you know, when you kind of like list the things in your life that you're really proud of or glad that you did, it's right up there.
Mm, yeah, I guess so.
And the
Ms. Bush?
I'm sorry?
Do you stay in touch with her?
Not particularly, no. Like, I've written her letter, you know, like a thank you letter. She wrote me a thank you letter. She was very nice. She sent a picture with her, and she actually said, you know, something to the effect that when they went back to the ranch that they could, you know, she hoped that they could do as good of a job as I did at the White House. It was a very flattering letter, which is in a very, you know, safe spot right now in our house.
Sure, sure. Now, how did you find somebody to contact at the White House to begin with? I would think that they get gajillions of letters.
And you know what? That's why it took me a couple of years. I often joke that President Obama made it to the White House faster than I did, because I kind of worked on and off at this as a hobby probably over 3 years, like probably like 3.5-4 years. And I didn't know who to write to at first. And I started by writing the First Lady herself, and then I thought, you know, there's probably like a filter. There's probably somebody who handles these type of things, but I didn't know where to go. And mm-hmm. even though we have the Internet and it's this amazing resource, 4 years ago there was no direct path. So I was writing Parks and Recreation because I know they handle a lot of the decorating. I started writing different politicians to see if perhaps they could help me. I really just kept spreading the net, like, further and further. And I think what finally did the trick for me was I started sending photos of the work that I do in other people's homes at Christmas time. And then I upped the ante a little bit, and I started sending some original sketches of what I would do if I was given free rein at the White House. Mm-hmm. And it was... After I sent out those type of things, I got the call from Nancy Clark. And the funny thing is I like to say the First Lady is really the Commander-in-Chief of Christmas. It's really her vision, and we're just executing it. So by the time they get the whole team assembled, mm-hmm. you know, the First Lady really knows what she wants. So there really isn't a lot of creative input. I guess what you need to do is they give you your materials, and you have to have the confidence to be able to carry out the job that you're assigned. And we were working on, Mrs. Bush loves snowy trees, like that's her signature look. And it was very funny because they, you know, they gave us all this the snow bunting and the loose snow, and they said, you know, make it look like a winter wonderland, and we piled on all the snow, and then they came through and said, oh, too much snow, take it away, and we took it away, and they came through and they said, too little snow, and put it back in. So then we put it back in, and this went back and forth, and finally we said, can you give us some more guidance? What do you want these trees to look like? And the answer came down, they want it to look like you happened upon a beautiful winter scene, perhaps 3 days after the snow had fallen. It had melted a little bit and reset. And I just said, you know what? You guys are all from Texas, and I'm from Jersey, and you do not want your Christmas decorations to look like snow that's been outside for 3 days. It was just like one of those funny moments. Like, they had this kind of magical idea in their head of snow on trees after 3 days that really wasn't practical in the real world.
And so what did you do? Did you keep some of the snow on there, the look of it?
We eventually reached a happy medium, and finally the First Lady signed off on it. And the thing is, now when I look at pictures, because the thing that really made my book possible is that we have presidential photographers who are documenting daily life at the White House, and I was interested in Christmas in particular. So after I was there, I was able to look at pictures of what had of the work that we had done, and it really did turn out beautiful. So it was worth all the tweaking, and it did look very realistic. And the amazing thing about these trees, there were probably about 14 of them in the Grand Lobby in 2008, and the floors are marble, and they're highly polished. So you have these golden, sparkly lights twinkling off the actual floor, and then you have the white of the artificial snow, and it really was just a beautiful, beautiful scene that she did create. And in fact, her mother-in-law also liked that look. So both Bush women kind of had a very similar style.
That sounds very lovely. Now, was it many rooms, or was there one room that was more decorated than another?
They're actually all very decorated and tastefully so. So I was working mostly on the state floor, and those are the rooms, if you go to the White House as a visitor, you get to tour. So you have the Grand Lobby and the Cross Hall. That is anchored on either end by the East Room, which is the huge room that can hold up to 350 people, where they have lots of parties. And in fact, during the Nixon administration, they used to hold Sunday Mass all throughout December as a celebration of Christmas approaching. And then, so if the East Room anchors one side of the White House, the Executive Dining Room anchors the other side. And then there are three rooms that kind of run along the back, and they are the Red Room, the Blue Room, where the official tree is always, and then a room called the Green Room. And those three rooms, identified by color, are smaller rooms. So they, the red and the green room had their normal furniture in it. The blue room has everything taken out because they put the enormous 18-foot tree in there. So it's really done up. And depending on the First Lady, it's done differently. Pat Nixon liked to go way over the top with gold and garland, and Nancy Reagan loved to go over the top. And the First Ladies love multiple trees. I think the record is Laura Bush had 49 trees, but Barbara Bush had up into the 40s also. There's a lot of Christmas trees. They're real. And, in fact, two presidents had allergies, so they had trouble, President Reagan and President Clinton. And in the case of President Reagan, they moved the stuff he was most allergic to an area of the White House that he did not frequent. And poor President Clinton decided to just suffer through with the live trees for the sake of the tourists coming through.
Wow.
That's interesting. What about Jackie O? Was she the most stylish of the...
So here's the funny thing to me about Jackie. So my book starts with Jackie because she was the one who had the common sense initially to say, if everybody's going to be coming through here at Christmas and the eyes of the world are kind of looking at us, we should, like, think about this before we just throw up a tree. So she was the one who came up with the idea of the Christmas theme and said, let's give it some thoughtful planning. And her very first theme was the Nutcracker, which has been repeated in years since. And her official tree was very polished. She liked very miniature ornaments. In retrospect, it's a throwback to a much simpler time than what the production we have today.
Right.
But the funny thing is, so the book is a mixture of, like, public and private photos. And so I came across these photos of the Kennedys celebrating their private Christmas in Palm Beach. Uh-huh. And Jackie's tree is a disaster. I mean, it's just kind of, like, haphazard and thrown together. And I suspect, like, the kids did it or the president did it because...
Really?
It is just not what you would expect from Jacqueline Kennedy. It was just a really kind of funny juxtaposition of what we expect from her as our style icon. And it's just this kind of, like, messy tree over in the corner. And then they have their stockings on the mantle, and they're not hung with care. They're just kind of, like, slapped up there.
No.
And it just...
She was so meticulous with everything.
Exactly. So it just really struck me as... you know, something I had never seen before. And then the other thing that is really sweet about this series of pictures is you really see them interacting with their children. And, you know, they say a picture says 1,000 words. Like, you can really see the love between the mother and the children and the father and the children. And I think through the celebration of Christmas, we kind of get to see our first families in a more human way. And I really love that about the photos in the book.
That's cool. Really cool. Well, your book is beautiful, and I know our listeners are excited to have it on their tabletops also. We have a link on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website so they can easily find you.
That's terrific. And the other fun thing about the book is I'm a bit of a history buff, so I love the pictures, but I love to craft also, and I wanted to copy the different First Lady styles. So we give craft ideas in every chapter. And the other really fun thing is Christmas isn't really very well organized. Well, it depends on the presidential libraries. It doesn't get the same level of attention as other subjects. So sometimes I would request materials from different presidential libraries and not really know what I was going to get. And I'd come across a party invitation or a recipe or a handwritten note. And all those really cool things I tried to include in the book.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This was really, really interesting. I hope you'll come back again. And
I would love to.
Get into more details. I mean, this is just really cool. Think about it. You did something that only a handful of people have ever done.
Yeah, it was really exciting, and I'm glad to share. So thank you for having me on.
It was delightful. Thank you so much. It was perfect for our Christmas show.
All right, well, Merry Christmas.
You too. Have a nice time. Where in New Jersey do you live?
I live in Glen Ridge, New Jersey, which is 9 miles west of New York City.
Okay, it's up in the, near, like, Paramus area?
Yep, I just was driving by the Paramus Mall tonight.
Yep, I was up there the other day.
Yep, it's packed.
Oh, I know. I saw the traffic. Well, thank you so much again.
Okay.
It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you.
All right,
thanks,
so long.
Colleen.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with Linda Cunningham.
A child, shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere, listen to what I say. The child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light. Told me pa-rum-pum-pum-pum, a newborn king to see, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum. Our finest gifts we bring, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum, to lay before the king, pa-rum-pum-pum. Rum pum pum pum, rum pum pum pum. So to honor him, rum pum pum pum. When we come.
And now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark.
We're very excited and honored tonight with our holiday celebrations. Time for romance, everyone, on Chit Chat Cafe Live. We first saw this guest on the Late Late Show with our famous, fabulous, fun Craig Ferguson. And while she was speaking, we had to Google and find her. And we are so honored and excited to have Linda Cunningham on our Chit Chat Cafe Live show tonight. So welcome, Linda.
Thank you very much. It's exciting to be here.
I loved your chat with Craig Ferguson. That was just exciting.
It was fun. It was
fun. How delightful. I watch every night.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
And so I was thrilled to hear about your romance book and how exciting it is for this romance book of yours where the girl goes back to her hometown and has a romance with the plumber.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is this your first romance novel?
Yes, this is my first romance novel, yes.
I know you've written a children's book. What made you think about writing a romance novel?
Well, I guess just observing people, and the story just began to unfold. And you know, I've read romance, and it's fun, and it's entertaining, light, and so I decided to try my hand at it.
Well, it's how wonderful! I love the title,
oh,
Hometown Girl.
Yes. Small Town Girl, right.
Small Town Girl, that's right, I'm sorry. And we're busy promoting it on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website and Facebook.
Thank you so much for that. That's very exciting. I'm very excited.
Well, we have a link right on our website, so all of our listeners all over the world can click and look at your book.
Oh, that's wonderful. It was a fun book to write, and I hope everybody thinks it's a fun book to read.
Well, I think they will. It sounds pretty steamy here. Lauren Smith goes back as an engaged girl and meets up with Caleb Cochran for
right.
romance.
Right. That's because she's engaged to the wrong person. You know, she. That's the whole premise of the story is Lauren sorting herself out. Hello, are you there?
Oh, pretty exciting. Now, how did you ever think about writing that Caleb should be a plumber?
Well, I wanted him to be a tradesman, but he also, you know, he owns his own company. I wanted him to be a real small town guy. You know, who is a contributing member of the community, a tradesman, somebody who can actually help out when there's a problem, and so he attracts that part of Lauren that is like that herself.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think the whole premise of Small Town Girl. And is that people can lead very full lives with and contributing lives, find, you know, love and romance and everything within a fairly small sphere. I mean, you don't have to reach great heights of wealth or even education as long as, you know, you maintain a certain integrity. And that's what the book is about, really.
Well, it's exciting. Well, I love the title, Small Town Girl. So all of our listeners can't wait to read it.
That's wonderful. I hope they all enjoy it.
And it's a nice time of year to get involved with a romance. The fireplace is going.
That's my kind of... I love that. Nothing like a good romance book.
I know. I'm sitting right in front of the fireplace right now as I talk to you.
Oh. Well, we do have to ask, you know, since we just love Craig Ferguson, what is it like having Craig Ferguson as a son-in-law?
he's wonderful. He really is. He's great. We have really good family times together. And
nice.
He's a really a wonderful person.
Well, he sounds it. That's always fun to watch his show.
Yeah, he's spontaneous and and you know, he's a very kind man.
How long has he been in your family?
Probably, they've been married for 3 years, and so he's been with us for 5 years.
Well, that's one. You please tell him that the Chit Chat Cafe Live girls are big fans.
I will. He'll be happy to hear that. I will tell him.
Good. Well, we love your website.
Oh, thank you.
I love reading that you've written for many people. You've written other people's speeches and papers and...
Yeah, so that's most of my writing has been that, grants. I've ghostwritten a lot of technical articles, you know, for trade journals and things like that. This is a lot more fun, let me tell you. Writing a romance is a lot more fun.
Do you have a new idea for your next romance?
Yes, I do. It's in the works now. I'm probably about a third of the way through it, and it's a different couple. It's the same town. They're all gonna. It's sort of mesh together in this little, you know, small town girl series. It's a different couple. They're different people. I think it will be interesting.
Oh, good. I love series. They're my favorite. So will Lauren and Caleb be in the next one?
I think they'll make a cameo at least. They'll be intertwined. You know, it'll center around a different couple, but they'll show up because it's a small town after all.
Well, those are my favorite because I don't like books to end.
I know.
I'll delay the ending, so I love it when they make cameos, and so that's wonderful.
I know. They are fun to read because that's happened to me, too. You're reading, you know, a book and then it ends and then it's over and you're you know, devastated. What do I do?
Exactly.
What are you going to be doing for Christmas, Linda? What are your plans?
Oh, we have holidays in our family are, you know, they're pretty much a family affair. I'll have a big dinner here at my house on Christmas Eve, and all my my two sons will be here, and most of the extended family will be here. So we'll have about 15 to 20 people here for Christmas Eve, and then Christmas morning, it's, you know, quieter, and we laze around in our jammies.
That sounds like us.
Yeah. In front of the fireplace, and you know,
oh, yeah, it's nice. I like Christmas Day because it's like you don't have to feel guilty for not going out. You don't have to feel like you have to clean or go work or go do anything because everything's closed. Most things are closed, and
right.
It's just an excuse to just relax and enjoy your family and watch movies and be cozy in the house or, you know, that type of thing.
Right. Yeah. That we have a good time on Christmas. It's a fun time for us. We do a lot of cooking. My sister and I do most of the cooking, and actually we do all of the cooking, and we love to cook, and we have we have lots of food, and it sort of starts at Thanksgiving and really doesn't stop until after New Year's. So.
Tell us about your lunch stories.
Oh, those are fun. But right now, I have posted on the website, I think there's five or six of them there. They're short stories. The ones that are posted there now are kind of like little paranormal romances, paranormal stories.
Mm-hmm.
Polaris is my favorite. I like that one. I love that story. coming up next in that category are some almost like chick lit stories. And I'll be posting them soon. They're fun and they're short. And I just post those sort of as a gift to people who come to the website, people who buy my book. You know, they're free. You can read them right there. And and they're entertaining. That's why I call them lunch stories. You know, you can just sort of shut everything out for an hour that it takes you to read them, you know.
That sounds like fun. Very cute.
And they're fun to write, and everybody that it has commented on it, they really enjoy them. So it, and it keeps the website, you know, going and keeps it fresh. So
how do you get your ideas for your blog?
The ideas for the blog, I have horses here, and a barn full of, you know, horses, sheep, and we have a small farm here. And I'm out in the barn, and I'm cleaning the barn, and it's only me, and I'm thinking away, and that's where a lot of ideas pop into my head. It's as mundane as that.
Well, we must tell all of our listeners that you live in a gorgeous, romantic stone house in Vermont.
It's a beautiful house. I love this house.
And I love it on your website that you're surrounded by horses, sheep, cats, dogs, chickens, and a parakeet.
Two parakeets, actually, now.
Oh.
Yeah, and we've got a little bit of everything, you know. And, of course, the wild birds, and we have a lot of wildlife here, too, that on the farm, and that's always nice to watch. And I have my gardens, and it's a nice place to be. It's a good place to write.
Well, it just sounds heavenly.
This time of year, it's very cozy to be inside. The house was built in 1849, so it has a lot of the original wide board floors and things like that. It's just very pretty.
Well, it sounds beautiful. I would like to ask you quickly, did you do the artwork on the cover of Small Town Girl?
No, I did not. No, I didn't do that. The Omnific people did that. My publishers did that.
It's beautiful. I wondered because you enjoy art, you mentioned.
Yes, I do. I do paint. Yeah, I do. I do watercolors. Actually, I've done daylilies, but I was so busy editing and getting the book ready that I just decided to let them do the cover.
Well, Linda, this has been wonderful having you on our Chit Chat Cafe Live show.
I'm very excited. This has been so much fun. I love talking to you.
We will continue to promote your book, Small Town Girl. We have a Chit Chat Cafe Live book club that we continue to promote the books.
Oh, that's great. And I'm following you on Twitter, and I've got you on Facebook, and I'll just keep in touch with you.
Thank you.
I've loved it.
We have too, and we cannot wait for your next one. We'll be ready to have more romance on Chit Chat Cafe Live.
Oh, that's good, and I will definitely
never have too much romance.
Pardon? Yes,
we never have too much romance.
Absolutely, and I will definitely tell Craig that you're fans, and he'll be happy to hear that.
We're huge fans of you, Linda.
Thank you so much
for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, Lisa, isn't it fun to spread the Christmas cheer?
We've had some really cute guests tonight, really good personalities.
Yes, and we would also like to wish Happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish listeners.
Absolutely. Happy Hanukkah.
And Lisa has friends listening from all over the world.
Yep.
That's wonderful. Well, it was a wonderful show tonight, Lisa. Merry Christmas to you and to your family, and what a wonderful show tonight.
Yep, it was good.
We would like to thank our fabulous sponsors, Laura Geller Makeup and Intimacy Bras and St. Croix Orthopedics. A special thank you to Corey, our producer. You can enjoy the Corey King Show on Artists First every Wednesday night at 7 p.m.
I'd like to thank our guests tonight, Dave Congleton, Colleen Burke, and Linda Cunningham. I'm reminding everyone to enjoy our archives. Just go to our website, scroll down to the show you'd like to listen to, click on the date, and just listen and enjoy. And I'd like to leave you with a fun quote, and it's a personal note to Santa from me. Santa, I've been good for the last week or so. Can we just focus on that? Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree.